This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Merciful God, you open your hand widely to satisfy the needs of every living creature. Make us aware that all that we have and all that we are is because of your immeasurable grace, that we rest in your hands, that we are blessed with joy and life now and forever after. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. You know, Jesus has a lot to say about money and wealth. And personally, I find it quite troubling and disturbing. If we think we are hearing what we are hearing this morning, then truly we stand condemned and guilty. And I, a man of the cloth, a man of God who supposedly has an understanding of God's will and God's way for our lives, I stand here condemned in front of you. Do I preach? Do I live what I preach? Do I truly show by example what Jesus is teaching us to be about? Our Lord's teachings and his words deeply trouble me today. Not only the words, but more so, how hard it is to live and to follow what Jesus asks of us. I fall short, and therefore I stand condemned. The message of our Lord this day is not the only time we've heard from Jesus' lips words about wealth and words about poverty. It seems to have begun very boldly and strongly right after his baptism, after he came out of the wilderness experience, the temptation, and goes off to Nazareth, his hometown. And while there, he goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath. He takes the scroll of Isaiah, and he says, after he had read the words, that today in your midst, these words are fulfilled. What he said was, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach to the poor." Shortly after that, we find Jesus beginning to gather this group of vagabonds that become his followers. And among them is a young rich ruler who asks him, "How can I be a follower?" And Jesus responds to him very lovingly, very kindly. And he says, "First, you must sell all your possessions. Give them to the poor. Then you will have a great treasure in heaven. Then you can come and follow me." At another time, we find him running into Zacchaeus, that short, greedy little tax collector who has climbed up in a tree to see what all this Jesus stuff is all about as crowds have gathered. And Jesus comes upon him, and there's a conversion that takes place. And as a result of what the man says, Jesus says to him, "Salvation is yours today. You are blessed." All in response to Zacchaeus saying, "I will give half of my possessions to the poor, and I will pay back to anyone that I have cheated four times the amount." But for me, the words we hear today from Mark's gospel are the most troubling and accusing. With the reading from our gospel today, we find Jesus praising the widow's offering. Jesus is making it very clear to us that the standard measurement of assessing gifts is not how much you and I put into the offering plate. It is not how much we give to the work of the Lord, but it is how much we have left for ourselves. Those who give of their abundance still have abundance remaining. And that is where the problem is. Is Jesus upholding and praising the poor? Is Jesus lifting up this widow today because she gave everything that she had from her bank account? Is this what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Do we find that he has a preference and an emphasis on poverty in his teachings? Does this mean that Jesus is romanticizing and idealizing the poor? Certainly not, because I think the first to object would be the poor. Who wants to grow up being poor? It is something that you and I avoid. No one that I've ever known has this dream, when I get to be big and grow up, I want to be poor. Who wants to live from hand to hand? Who wants to live out of garbage cans? Who wants to live with an apartment that has no utilities? What we learn, however, is that this woman who shows up at the temple very inconspicuously, who is noticed by Jesus, was not a poor widow. The woman is poor because she is a widow. My understanding of the sociology and the economics of first century Palestine states there is no such thing as a rich widow. Because in that culture, women are dependent upon all male relatives for their livelihood. You depend on the men and the males in the family. That's where you have life. Without them, you literally are dead. To be widowed, as this woman is, means, first of all, you not only have had a great loss with someone who you have loved significantly, but perhaps more importantly, she has lost someone for whom she has totally depended for life and for meaning. And that's the tragedy. Widows are forced to live off the generosity and the good graces of the men in the family, or perhaps a friend in the community that may give you a meal or even hand you a penny. So the woman has two little coins, all that she possessed. And the truth is, and I believe that only the extremely poor truly understand this, that these coins are not going to change her life one way or another. A little penny isn't suddenly going to remove her from the rolls of welfare and put her into gainful employment. This woman literally can be at peace. She can be joyful knowing that she can give to the treasury. Whether or not she has the coin to give, she is still a dependent person. And rich people, that is, you and I, cannot say that. We cannot confess that we are dependent. My money, however, gives me a sense of independence, a sense of freedom. And I like it that way. And I know my loved ones and my families like that too, as well as you do. And so I do not put my whole paycheck onto the offering plate on any given Sunday. But I do know that we have had poor and homeless people sit in the pew who have taken their very last dollar and have put it into the plate to further God's work. But when you are that low on the economic scale, giving is not the problem. The problem is getting. You see, the widow was not dependent upon her money. She was not dependent on her social status in society because she had neither one. She was dependent upon God and her neighbor. She had no boots to wear to pull herself up, no feet to stand on. She is totally dependent. And that is what Jesus is pulling out of the story today for his disciples. As a great pearl of value, he is holding up this illustration of dependence. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the good news we hear today, that Jesus is calling us to understand. This is what our Lord is enabling you and me to do. He has called us, gifted us to be in relationship to God, and he is asking us to be dependent on nothing but the grace and the love of our Creator. We are called to be people without resources, except for the riches of God's mercy. And so what we have here this morning is not an issue about how much money we have in our bank accounts, but it is an issue about what that money means. Is that money your heart? Is that money your security? Is that money your sense and source of power? Or is it truly a tool for stewardship to help God's will and love to be done? Are you and I dependent upon that money to get all that we want for our own lives? Or are we dependent upon God to give us true life? What Jesus is saying to us simply today is, if you want to follow me, then look at the widow. Look at the widow. It is living lives that show that everything you and I say, everything that you and I do, is dependent upon God. For all that we are, for all that we can be, it is God who gives us life. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the challenge. And that is where the difficulty comes in for you and for me. You see, as Americans, we are taught to celebrate independence. But Jesus is telling us to celebrate dependence. As Americans, we use it as a sign of our strength and our success that we are independent. So how can we possibly celebrate dependence? Our culture nurtures us to be like those honored scribes. Walk around in the big robes so we're being noticed. Throwing big offerings so people can see all that we have. And praying lengthy prayers to show how knowledgeable we are. But Jesus is counseling us to use this unlikely person as the model of life. We are called and we are empowered in our lives to model the one that we would normally overlook because we are too occupied with the admiration of those of the life that have the life of the rich and the famous. The widow in today's gospel tossed the shreds of the remaining independence that she had into that treasury. But she kept intact, complete dependence upon God and her neighbor. And therefore, Jesus is holding her up for us as a spiritual mentor, as we too will stand on the margin of what we hold dear. Her way of life is one that is grounded in the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Her life is one that is lived with a conviction that you and I are only stewards of all our possessions, that these are not ours, that we are only called upon to use them and take care of them for the sake of others. You know, we in our culture associate dependence with oppression and depression. But Jesus is helping us to understand that dependence on God alone is the source of life, is the source of joy and thanksgiving. And if God is the God of the universe who has created all things, and if God is ruling my life, then I no longer need to defend myself or justify myself or save myself, because God is in control. I live in his hands and I die in his hands. But if I remove myself from him, I certainly will die. And I would prefer to die in his hands, because in his hands is the source of life now and forever. There is the abundant life. And that is what Jesus is upholding for us today. That is the good news. The widow's message for us. May we be as free as she is. Amen.